traditional custodians on the land on which we meet. I would also like to pay respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians who are present. All members of the public present at a meeting must, not without prior approval of the chairperson, make an audio or video recording or take any photographs. Remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way. Not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with another person. Be suitably dressed and turn all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the meeting to take any calls. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements and may, with or without such warning, require the person to leave the meeting and not return for such period as the chairperson decides. This period may include future meetings. Okay, as you can see, we're a little bit of a small family today. We've got several councillors away with a conference in Canberra. So, can I ask for a mover and seconder that Mayor Karen Williams be given permission to take part in the general meeting by...
Sorry to spoil the fun, but on a technicality you need six here, a quorum, in order to do that. So we're waiting for Councillor Bishop to come before you can make any resolution in relation to the members who are not present. Five of you who are coming in by teleconference are not technically members of the meeting until the council has resolved to accept you, so we need six present in this room to vote to allow you to participate.
Okay. I asked yesterday about a quorum and I thought the people on the phone were a quorum, but because they're not accepted yet, they're not part of that quorum? Okay. Well, don't panic. I'm not going to burst into song or anything to fill in the time. No. Okay, here he is. Thank you, Paul. Okay, now that we've got the quorum, we'll do that one again. Can I have a mover and seconder that Mayor Karen Williams be given permission to take part in the general meeting by teleconference, moved by Murray Elliott and seconded by Mark Edwards. All in favour? Unanimous. Can I have a mover and seconder that Councillor Julie Tolte, Councillor Division 6, be given permission to take part in the general meeting by teleconference? Moved by Paul Gleeson, seconded by Mark Edwards. All in favour? Thank you. Can I have a mover and seconder that Councillor Peter Mitchell, Councillor Division 2, be given permission to take part in the general meeting by teleconference? Moved by Murray Elliott, seconded by Mark Edwards. All in favour? Unanimous. Can I have a mover and seconder that Councillor Paul Golley, Councillor Division 3, be given permission to take part in the general meeting by teleconference? Moved by Paul Bishop, seconded by Murray Elliott. All in favour?
Aye.
Passed unanimously. Oh, we got more little voices adding in now. One more. Can I have a mover and seconder that Councillor Tracy Hughes, Councillor Division 8, be given permission to take part in the general meeting by teleconference? Moved by Paul Bishop and seconded by Mark Edwards. All in favour?
Aye.
Great, thank you. Okay, so we've got through all of them. And can I ask, because we've got several councillors by teleconference, that when we do future motions, can you say individually, like Karen Williams, yes, or so that, because ayes, we won't know which ones are the ayes. Is that what we're going to do? Go through the names. Oh no, if you can just call out your names and if you're not voting for it, so that we make sure that's clear. And now, after all of that, I would like to welcome Jim DeWitt, the member of the Redlands Ministers Fellowship from the Redlands Christian Reformed Church, to lead the council in a brief devotional segment. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. Good morning to everyone here, and thank you, Deputy Mayor Bulgari, for the invitation and the privilege to take this time for you. I love Peanuts cartoons, and you learn a lot from Peanuts cartoons. And there's one where Lucy's having a go at her brother Linus, and she's laughing at him, and she says, "You could never be a doctor. You know why? Because you don't love mankind, that's why." And his response yells out to his sister as she goes off, "I love mankind, it's people I can't stand." And I think it's, you know, I just don't like people. There's times when we can feel that way. Maybe you're feeling that way at this point of time too. You know, that idea of loving the world, of loving Redlands City is something that is easy to do. It's not difficult to love your city. But sometimes loving the people around you is the challenge. And working with the people around you is the challenge. And I just want to read some verses that come out of the Bible from... it's a chapter called 1 Corinthians 13. And it's a beautiful piece of literature. It's loved by many people. And chances are, if you've been to a wedding, you would have heard at least a portion of this read out at a wedding. And he starts off in this chapter talking about all the things that you can do. He says, but if you don't have love, it's pointless. He says, you gain nothing. And interesting, the word he uses for love, we only have one word for love, but in the Greek they have four words. And the word that he uses here is, because we think of love more as the affectionate side of things, but the word he uses here is, it's a giving love, it's a sacrificing love, it's a love that thinks about other people and does things for other people, which really is what counsellors do. You do it for other people, you do it for the city. And he goes on to say these words about describing this love that gives for others. He says, he writes, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This love never fails. And you can see why it gets read out at a wedding, because it just fits in with what a couple are intending to do at a wedding. But he's put it in, where he puts it in this letter, he's writing a letter to a church in Corinth, and because it's chapter 13, it sits between chapters 12 and 14, of course. And chapter 12 ends with these words, "Now I'll show you the most excellent way." So he's been describing to them how you work together as people, using the different gifts that you have, the different abilities. And then he says, "Now I'll show you the most excellent way." And he starts the next chapter, 14, he explains how you can live that out, doing things together. But he says, pursue love. Starts with that, pursue love. And so chapter 13 comes in, this is what this love looks like. And he's writing to a problem church. This is a church that struggled with lovelessness. There was division in the church. They didn't like each other. They envied what other people were doing. They raised themselves up. They were pride in that. And it says they even were impatient with each other in public meetings. And he said it was just disgraceful and dishonouring. And so he says, even though you can do these things, this is the motivation you should have. This is the proper energy, the proper power or environment in which you do all your work. It's that environment of a love, which is a love that cares for others, a love that puts other people first, a love that puts the things you're doing first. So you're doing things for this community. So he's writing to a church, but it's just, I think, just as it works just as well for city councillors and for council workers and for all of us, the interactions that we have with each other. That's why it's read at weddings. You know, we're driven not by our own motivations or our own desires, but the desire for others, concern for others, seeking the good of others, which is what you do as city councillors. And so my encouragement is to you is, when you do your work, when you deliberate in meetings, just to do it out of an environment that, I guess that environment of love that he's talking about. This love that puts others first and thinks about, I guess, the higher calling to which you're called. So that's my encouragement to you, my challenge, and let me lead you in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for a people who love this city. We thank you for councillors who have put their love for this city on a higher plane and have stood for public office. And we thank you for them. Lord, we thank you for the love that they have for this city that motivates them and drives them. And Lord, we pray that they'll do that with the right heart and attitude. Lord, we pray that they'll be able to love each other, but also to love the people of this city. And in a way that that the decisions they make, the work that goes on here will be honouring to the people of this city and for the betterment of this city. And so as this council meeting gathers to decide on things, to discuss things relevant to the present and future well-being of this city, Lord, we pray that you will bless them and guide them. Lord, we pray that the deputy mayor, the mayor, all those in the various levels of city officials and councillors, Lord, we pray that you give them wise and caring, understanding hearts. Lord, we pray that they'll be able to do what best serves the common good of this city, of the residents of this city, that they'll honour the purposes for which they've been elected. We pray that this meeting will be conducted with a spirit of mutual respect and love. And Lord, as they work through this agenda today, Lord, we pray that they will do that which benefits those who live and work in and around this beloved city of Redland. So Lord, bless their work, we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Now we have recognition of achievement, and I'd like to ask General Manager Nick Clark to speak about the recent disaster management exercise that was held last week.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Councillors, good morning. The Deputy Mayor has just asked me to say a few words this morning about the annual disaster management exercise that was held in the Redlands on Thursday last week. Named Exercise Sodor Surprise, and for those of you with particularly sons, but I guess also daughters, that have enjoyed Thomas Tank Engine over the years, you'll know where the name Sodor comes from, and it will give you a clue as to the nature of the exercise that took place, and it was a Queensland Rail disaster exercise. Every year Council participates, in fact more than that, we are involved at a very senior level in the planning of such exercises, and we exercise our staff, managers staff, the Mayor and Deputy Mayor were also involved this year in the exercise too. It involves all the agencies that we work with in our local disaster management group, and I'd like to commend all of the staff from those agencies, and they range from Queensland Government departments like Education, Health, Transport, Main Roads, Queensland Rail obviously were involved, some of the utilities like Telstra and Energex, some of the other organisations that are involved in disasters like Australian Red Cross and GIVIT. Obviously the emergency services, the Queensland Ambulance Service, Fire and Emergency Service and the Police Service, and of course many of our staff. The aim of the exercise was to test our disaster management plan. It's a plan approved by Council, but it is developed in partnership with all of those other agencies. So that plan was tested on Thursday. It was a very successful exercise. Not only did we have members of the local disaster management group participating, but we also had our volunteer staff, council employees, who volunteer to assist in our local disaster coordination centre, which was operational at our depot at South Street. One of the things I'd like to mention in particular in relation to our staff in our coordination centre is that we had a senior representative from state government representing the Inspector General of Emergency Management attend the coordination centre, and his words, and I'm trying to quote him verbatim after having seen them in operation, were along the lines of that he has never in his experience, which is long ranging, has never seen a local government coordination centre working so effectively and efficiently. High praise indeed. I'd also like to commend the staff who were at the same time testing our business continuity plan. Part of the exercise involved Council having to close down many of its services in the Cleveland CBD and test our continuity plan to bring up those essential services to the community as soon as possible from different locations. So the community and the councillors can be reassured that both from a disaster management point of view and a business continuity point of view, that both our planning schemes passed the test last week. That, of course, doesn't lead us to complacency. We will continue to train, to learn and practice month after month in the hope that none of those major events occurs. In finishing, I'd just like to pay particular tribute to our disaster management team, led by Mike Lolbeck. Mike's in the back here. Mike Tate's with him, Rocco Petrillo and Alison Lamb, who played a huge part in designing the exercise last week and bringing on board all of our colleagues from around all those different departments and agencies. It was a great job. Can I also pay my respects to Luke Wallace, who's our business continuity manager. Luke led that part of the exercise superbly as well, and that will come as no surprise to the councillors who know Luke well as well. In finishing, later on the agenda today, councillors, you will be considering part five of our disaster management plan. This part deals with recovery, and that was tested as well at the exercise last week. It's part five of six parts. The last part will deal with the SES, and that will be coming to you next year. But that plan also is held in very high regard, not just locally and at state level, but nationally, where it is used as a benchmark in training of local governments and other agencies in disaster management planning. Again, I pay tribute to the Mikes and the team there for their involvement in putting those documents together. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Nick. And I'd just like to add to that, this was my first exercise in the role now as Deputy Mayor. I'm the Chair of Recovery. And for those who know me, I'm not one for hanging around in meetings any longer than you have to. But I actually stayed there all day because I learnt a lot from all the various organisations. But what was really impressive was their summing up in the afternoon, because there were so many points that had not been picked up that were picked up because we actually had a physical exercise. So I'd just like to assure everybody it was an extremely worthwhile day. And if there is a disaster in Redlands, touch wood, this certainly helps these organisations get to know each other, because you could see those bonds and networking happening on the day. And the Mayor was there, also present there, and she also commented on this. At the end of the day, we could both see the value of it. So thank you very much to the team who are sitting down the back. And yes, we're... this will be available to the public after today, won't it? So the public can rest assured we're on it, which is good. Right, item number six, matters outstanding from previous... No, number five, sorry, I've missed one. Oh, right, sorry, yep. Can I have a mover and a seconder for the receipt and confirmation of the previous minutes? Moved Mark Edwards and seconded Councillor Bishop. Were there any comments or correctness? Nope. All in favour? Can I hear anybody?
Aye.
Okay, I think we got... We'll say unanimous there. Right. Great. Thank you. So now we'll go on to matters outstanding from previous... Council, I'll ask the Executive Officer to present.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Councillors, you'll note there was item 6.1, a request for a report, a petition requesting pensioners' council rate subsidies be granted to the residents of leasehold retirement villages. That report is hot off the press last night. We're just going through that for correctness. That will be distributed to councillors in the next few days for your knowledge in response to that. And that is all the outstanding matters.
Public participation, yeah. We haven't got any... No. Okay, we're going into public participation. Was there anyone... we haven't got anybody having put their name forward yet, but is there anyone in the gallery that would like to speak today? Yes, we have one. Okay, so just before we move into that, can I have a mover and seconder then to move? Thank you, Councillor Edwards, and seconded Councillor Bishop. All in favour of moving into public participation? Anybody on the other end? That was Julie. Is there Tracy and Paul, are you there? Okay. Okay, unanimous. Thank you. So before we move into public participation for 5 minutes. Okay. You may have noticed the signage in the chamber regarding public participation at meetings. It is Council's usual practice to require any person wishing to address the meeting to state their name and suburb or organisation that they represent and the subject they wish to speak about. This information is recorded in the minutes of the meeting, which is a public document, available for inspection at Council's administration building and published on the Council's website. I also advise that the meeting is being recorded in audio, video, and that by speaking, you acknowledge and agree that the recording video may be placed in the public domain. Any person addressing a meeting will state their name and suburb or organisation they represent and the subject they wish to speak about, stand unless unable to do so, act and speak with decorum, be respectful and courteous, make no comments directed at any individual council employee, councillor or member of the public, ensuring that all statements relate to council as a whole. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to consider each application on its merits and consider any relevant matters in making any decision to allow or disallow a person to address the local government. Give priorities to the member of the public who make written application to the CEO to address the meeting. Determine the maximum number of speakers based on the number of people waiting to speak and time available. Each speaker has a maximum of 5 minutes, dependent on the number of speakers, and withdraw the approval to address council before the time period has elapsed. Debate or discussion cannot be entered into at this time. If there are any speakers who have a hearing impair, please wait in your seat and we will bring the microphone to you. Please stand while speaking. Mr. Woods, if you'd like to come forward. And I think the microphone is set up, isn't it, David? Yes, thank you. And please state your name and suburb or organisation you represent and then begin when you are ready. Thank you.
My name is Greg Wood. I live at 31 Drewison Avenue, Cleveland. And no doubt all the councillors would have seen my reports. The CEO and the mayor, like broadly broadcast it. Certain departments of the council have never seen reports like this before. Anyone who cooks in the Redland City, in any way, shape, or form, commercially or non-commercially, must have these reports if they're letting out any sort of odour or smoke or any environmental inference outside their boundaries of their premises or building. It's a federal law. I was given a list of council names and businesses, and none of them complied with what I want, and they all refused to do the work. The odour guy said none of them were qualified because you have to have a lot of degrees to do these reports. Subsequently, the reports that were held against me in court proceedings were invalid. Now, I've been to the court, and the only way I can, there's two ways I can do it. We can settle this amicably within the Redland City Council, or we can go back to court and reopen the case. Now, I'd rather do it amicably and try and sort it out within the council. Verbally last Friday, I spoke to the assessor, and he said, it's been passed, your home business. And environmental health is working out the conditions. The odour guy made one comment that he did not know of another legal premises by a single operator or a very small business that was legal on the eastern seaboard anywhere. So I have a precedent here. My odour levels were very, very low. They should have been taken to court for them. Now, I've been put out of work 7 years for two boats. Every other commercial fisherman in the area, there's a couple that cook at Emity, and one that cooks at Old Cleveland Road East Birkdale. Right? None of them have legal facilities. The situation with this is, as I said, I want to solve it amicably within the council. I've been put to considerable cost and 7 years loss of work, and my son-in-law, he lost his job as well. Now, the only way we can work this out, as I said, is two ways. Now, I will have the conditions of my operation by Friday. Environmental Health and the Assessor have told me that. And that's all I want to say today. But as I said, I want to work this out amicably in amongst all the councillors, the Mayor, the Deputy Mayor, the CEO, and may we progress on forward from this rather than backwards again. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. As we have no further speakers, I ask for a mover. Thank you, Councillor Elliott, to move back. Seconded Mark Edwards, you're too quick for me, to move back into normal meeting procedures. All in favour?
Aye.
Right, unanimous. Thank you.
Tracy, aye.
Aye. Thank you.
If I may, through the Chair, just Karen, because you guys are all together, we just only need one, and we'll assume that is a unanimous for the grouping there. Julie, if we don't hear from you, we'll assume, because you're on and off mute, we'll assume that you're a four for it. So if you're okay with that.
Yeah, and I'll advise of any votes in the negative.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, give it.
Yeah,
give.
That's fine. It just takes a moment to get on and off mute.
Yep. Yeah, we'll,
and with five being away, it's a bit awkward this end, so thank you for that. Right, I've been advised that Councillor Gleeson has a petition to present, and I'd ask him to move it and have a seconder, please.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I've got a petition presented from the residents of New Life Village at Pitwin Road, Capalba, wanting Council to maintain a bus stop that's not being used anymore.
And you'd move that?
I'd like to move that.
Yep. And can I have a seconder for that? Seconded by Councillor Bishop. Would you like to speak to that, Councillor Gleeson?
Thanks, Madam Chair. I note that the petitions are of an operational nature and be received and referred to the Chief Executive Officer for consideration.
Councillor Gleeson, we need the exact wording which is written that residents requesting maintenance of the public seating in front of the Village Life Capella Bar. You've got it there. You've got to say that apparently I've been...
Petition from residents requesting that Council undertake maintenance of the public seating outside of Village Life Capalba.
The next one? Is there another line? Liz is saying there's another line there that has to be said. Motion to move is said at the bottom of the page.
I'd like to move the motion that the petition's of an operational nature.
That's the one.
And be received, be referred to the Chief Executive Officer for consideration.
Great. Thank you. And Councillor Bishop has seconded that. All in favour?
Aye.
Unanimous. Thank you. Now, I haven't been advised of any presentations. There's no motion to alter the order of business. So I'd just like to remind councillors of their responsibilities under the Local Government Act 2009 in relation to councillors' material personal interest or conflict of interest about a matter to be discussed at a meeting. A summary of the responsibilities are included in the agenda. So we'll move on to item 11.1.1, May 2016 Monthly Financial Report. And Councillor Elliott, you're going to present that one.
Thank you, Madam Chair. pardon me, item 11.1.1, the May 2016 Monthly Financial Report. I move the office recommendation be accepted.
Thank you. Is there a seconder? Councillor Edwards, would you like to speak to that, Councillor Elliott?
Yes, thank you briefly, Chair. Look, it's another good set of numbers, pretty predictable at this time of the year, but I'd like to ask a question on the Capital Works program. Through you, I'm not sure Bill or Louise might answer. The Capital Works in May, we seem to be slipping back. We're about $10 million below. Are we expected to get there by the end of June?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, through you to Councillor Elliott and to councillors. As it said, we're just over $10 million behind as of period 11. We expect the variance at the end of the year to be around $5 million. So we have got a large amount of work carried through into the last period, which is fairly typical for when we get the invoices and those sort of things. The typical projects that we are sitting there, we also expect around $4.4 million to carry over into the new year of that $5 million. So we've also had some savings through the various projects, so our resurfacing project, et cetera, has delivered about $500,000 better value through it. We also have some delays in there, so the Birkdale Hard Stand and the Hall Road, we're running about $1.1 million behind. Some of the work for 1 mile overflow car parking, as you'll be aware, we're still waiting on state approval for those. It's around $600,000. And then there's a range of other projects which add up to around the 4.5. So we'll come around $10 million under for the period with $4.5 million carried over, Councillor.
Thank you very much, Leah.
Thank you. Were there any other councillors who had a question? Yes, Councillor Edwards.
Comment?
Yes.
Sorry, I can't help myself. I just want to talk about the report. The report reflects the revised budget that was adopted by Council on the 11th of May 2016. Water income has taken a hit with lower than anticipated water consumption driving down revenue and additional contracted costs in remediation work also impacting on the bottom line. That contributed to the unfavourable variance of $1.14 million in the operating result, and clearly water consumption forecasting will continue to be an aspect that impacts on our budgets. Capital works that Bill's just spoken about, thank you. I assume there was going to be a mixture of operational savings, which is a good thing, and carry forwards projects haven't been finished. It's good to see the KPIs being met, and even the asset sustainability ratio has actually improved if you go back 12 months, so it's on the rise, which is good. So kudos to all the council and the executive leadership group for having steered this course for council. Cash and investments, pretty good, $160 million, but it's hard to make good investment return when we've got historically low interest rates. $90 million of that is constrained reserves. I'd just like to make a comment that on the report there's some tables we have which are rates that are overdue, and they're broken down into Mainland, Simbi and Stratty and Coochie. And I'm not quite sure of the purpose for it, because when I look at it I see that the rates that tend to be most in arrears, and particularly that 90-day and onwards, relate to the Mainland. Mm-hmm. And so there's work involved in extracting that data and breaking it down. I don't see what purpose it actually... So maybe I'm just putting it out there to consider, maybe just provide the holistic result, and if we see some trends, we can call that by postcode or something like that as-to-need basis, and that just might make a little less work in doing the report up. Just my observation. Anyway, well done. Good result.
Thank you. Are there any further comments or questions from councillors? If not, I'll pass back to you, Councillor Elliott.
No, I've got no further statement.
Okay. all in favour? Karen? Thank you. Okay, that was unanimous. Thank you. We'll just move on to 11.2.1, and before I ask... for a mover and seconder, I'm just going to ask Nick Clark to present the report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just very briefly, councillors will be aware that the former council adopted a new corporate plan, 2015-2020, back in May last year. That five-year document has a range of initiatives and activities that are intended to deliver ultimately on the vision of the longer-term community plan. Each year, Council is required to adopt an annual operational plan, and that's the document before you this morning. The annual operational plan, as you'll see, maintains that consistency of having those eight key themes that come from those higher, more strategic planning documents. The corporate plan was subject to considerable community consultation, and what we do each year with our annual operational plan is to work out with a lot of inquiry and collaboration across the organisation what is actually deliverable in one of the five 12-month periods during the life of that corporate plan. This operational plan contains a fairly large number of significant projects and activities. You'll notice that it doesn't contain a lot of business as usual content. We take that as read, that things like the potholes will still get fixed, the parks will still get maintained, the waste will still be collected, the water will still be provided. So it's about the larger and more significant projects and activities that will help deliver on those eight vision outcomes. Also within the annual operational plan, Council is required to present the annual performance plans for our commercial business units. The councillors will be aware that Redland Water and Redland Waste annual performance plans will follow in a separate document this year. It's a requirement under the Local Government Act that Council adopts an annual operational plan before it adopts its budget, and you'll be aware that you have a special meeting of Council booked for the 14th of July to adopt, consider and adopt a budget. The annual operational plan before you is consistent with the budget that is going to be presented to you next month. Finally, it's also a requirement that the CEO brings back to you every quarter a performance report on how we're progressing against the activities in the annual operational plan. You will have seen that come through quarterly through the last year, and as you adopt an operational plan for 2016-17, those quarterly reports will continue to be presented to you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Nick. Can I now ask for a mover and seconder for the motion? Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'd like to move item 11.2.1, Operational Plan 2016-17.
And a seconder. Thank you, Councillor Bishop. Is there any comments or discussion? Yep, Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. And on a busy meeting with lots of people absent, congratulations and well done. Thank you. I just want to make a couple of comments. That first of all, as General Manager Nick Clark just mentioned a moment ago, this does line up with our community plan, also the corporate plan, and it's our annual review. And it also is a signal to the officers to the sorts of things to do to line up with those things going out into this coming year. It's also an opportunity for us, having gone through the process, to have distilled the things that we think are of priority. But it's also a good opportunity for the community to have a look over this and see if, you know, are we getting this right? And from their perspective, always open to feedback, and things can be adjusted at any stage as we go along. There's a couple of things that I think I just want to mention as we go, because it is a really important body of work. There are some, if we just go through, for example, under this, there's eight topics and they line up with the community plan and the corporate plan. Under green living, one of the projects coming up is looking at the long-term waste disposal strategy, waste infrastructure requirements for the city. And then there's another separate project looking at changing food waste behaviour. Just, I think that's an important thing, and there's developing a pilot activity to change behaviour, because that's one of the things that's been identified as an area where there's waste in the waste department. And so if we can help the community to become more effective in doing that, that's a great pilot project to pursue. Under Embracing the Bay, it's great to see finalising Redland City Council Coastal Adaptation Strategic Plan will take place this year. I know there's people down in my neck of the woods who'd be interested in how that's going to do some work and help us to forward things there. Under Quandamooka Country, one of the important things that the Quandamooka people are involved with is the Quandamooka Festival Program. That's a three-month program that I think is growing internationally in significance, and it's great to see Council partnering with them, and that's one of the things. These are just indications as to some of the scope of things that are happening across the city. Under Wise Planning and Design, there's seek acquisition of surplus Commonwealth land at Birkdale to progress a preferred land use plan. That's a topical thing that these are just, you know, examples of things that are happening. And one of the other ones at the end of Strong and Connected Communities is to promotion and delivery of multi-agency education programs, just coordinating community education and training through the local disaster management group. One of the things that's important about this Plan 5 that we'll adopt, or well, it's proposed for adoption later in the meeting, is the role of community involvement and how we interface with community, and I think that's an important part of the way they go about things. And also, as an actor coming from the arts, I actually think it's important to acknowledge the importance of exactly what you were doing the other day, running scenarios, is actually a dress rehearsal. Dress rehearsals for the opening night that we never want to have happen, which is a disaster, is a really important thing of people getting ready and able to look at the future. Under number 8, Inclusive and Ethical Governance, 8.5.1 is a review of Council's community engagement model and framework. This may be of some interest to members of the community, looking at a number of different points, identifying community needs, review Council service levels and priorities for community engagement, and then there are five other dot points. They just give a snapshot of some of the different 8 points, and these are some of the many things that officers are doing. I encourage the community to have a look at this document if they've got thoughts or feedback, to contact their local councillor or officers. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Councillor Elliott.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I draw your attention, councillors and the community, page 5 of 19 of the report. In 1.2 it is actually, the threatened species are maintained and protected, including vulnerable koala species. Develop natural environment strategies under the Natural Environment Policy, Koala Strategy, Networks Corridor Strategy, Offset Planting Strategy, Significant Vegetation Strategy, Enhance the Visitor Experience Strategy. We've recently been told that numbers of koalas have collapsed, particularly in this town, and I think that's devastating for everybody, the community as well as the wildlife. I think you can throw all the money you like at it. You can throw $12 million, $20, $200 million. This is about planning schemes, regional plans. I happen to... we're going to be starting on Friday, looking at workshops with our own planning scheme, and I hopefully we'll reflect those a better position in that plan. And when it comes out, it'll be a really, really good document. I took to reading, if you've got nothing else to do, the South East Queensland Regional Plan 2009-2031, and it actually says here in Redlands, there's a section for Redlands and each city has one, Redlands urban koala population must be protected to maintain a viable koala population in the wider region. Further measures to protect the urban koala population will be developed and implemented within Redlands. So it says in the regional plan, that's what we've got to do. Also, not just about the environment, but there was a bit here on infrastructure. I thought we'll have a bit of a laugh here. The timely provision of transport infrastructure, this is for our city, including increased road capacity and quality public transport infrastructure, is essential to support Redland City's expected population and employment growth. This infrastructure will lead the sequenced development of urban communities and the local development areas. So the following list have been done. The Eastern Busway, the bus priority measure between Cleveland and Capalaba, passenger rail duplication, it's all there, Redlands Sub Area 2 road upgrade, and finally, the Cleveland Redland Bay road upgrade has been done. There you go. So, this is it. This is the document. This tells you what's going on. This is the Bible. I think that was an interesting comment I picked up, but my main thing is that urban koala protection, it's up to us. It's about spending some dollars, but it's about what you put in your planning schemes and your regional plan to make things happen. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other councillor got a comment? I'll just...
Madam Chair?
Yes?
Just quickly in response to Councillor Elliott, I think just to, for public interest, is that the money that was offered by the state government a couple of weeks ago by Minister Miles for our koalas, certainly we had a letter in the mail pretty much an hour after that, making sure that we had an opportunity to get our fair share of that small fund, albeit every bit helped. Similarly, I think it's a good opportunity to remind our community that the South East Queensland Regional Plan is under review. It's due out in October. It's going to be a short time frame once the draft is out there. It's really important that they get engaged at that level, as well as they have at our planning scheme level, and they'll be very well engaged in that particular process, which went for 11 weeks last year. I just wanted to, perhaps if I could, ask a question of the officers through you, Madam Chair, in regards on page 9
to the Coastal Adaptation Strategic Plan, which we know is one of the challenges of our city, being a coastal city. I did send some information through. There is some funding that's been made available by the state government under their QCoast 2100 program, and I'm just not sure if that would help us fast-track or at least subsidise some of the work we're doing across the mainland and our islands.
Mayor Williams, just in response to that, we received that letter from the LGAQ, which is $4 million funding. We're just in the process of having a look at that and how we can access that, applying to that grant, and if we should get some money from that, that will definitely aid us to fast-track, as well as work with the other coastal communities around Southeast Queensland and the broader Queensland, just to maybe best practice off some of their ideas as well. So that was received from you, I think, earlier in the week, and we will be applying to the LGAQ to get some of that if possible.
Thank you. And I guess the other point is on page 13 of 19, and it's timely and probably more a comment and calling out for, I guess, community assistance in this. As you see, item 5.4.1 is through the Council of Mayors. We're certainly advocating for the key regional infrastructure, and Councillor Elliott talked about some of the road infrastructure that was promised through that last SEQ regional plan, but at the moment we have a federal government election and we're all advocating to get South East Queensland moving. Redland City will be a small portion of South East Queensland Council of Mayors area, has five projects in there, four of them are significant infrastructure projects. And so for all those people who might be out there listening or reading about our meeting, it's really important for them to lobby all the candidates for the federal election coming up in a week and a bit, because it really is political pressure that seems to get these projects on the agenda. And, of course, we do that as a council and we do that as a regional collaboration of Council of Mayors. And also, I suppose, having spoken to councillors down here in Canberra, infrastructure is one of the big key topics, and certainly all types of infrastructure and that collaboration that is needed across the country, across the state, through our region will make a difference. But I note too that in 5.4.2, that's the partnerships we build with our neighbours to try and get some of that infrastructure on the board, on the table, completed and ready for our residents is really important, and saving money in the long term for ratepayers and taxpayers. Thank you.
Thank you. The CEO would just like to make a comment.
Just to build on that, councillors, I know the Mayor is aware of it. I'm on a steering group which is across the South East Queensland CEOs, along with the Director General being led, and we also have some representatives on some of the smaller working groups, which is about getting together the infrastructure projects across South East Queensland and advocating both federally and at the state for that. It's very early days through that, but it is a good sign that the amount of effort that is being put in, and I know our Director General Frankie Carroll has been, I'm not sure if he's down in Canberra at the moment with them, but he has multiple trips to Canberra advocating both for SEQ and the wider Queensland around trying to obtain additional funding for infrastructure. And as Councillor Elliott eloquently said, we are short of infrastructure at the moment. So working with the Council of Mayors and you councillors, in the future, we will be strongly advocating to get as much as we can to get our transport and infrastructure upgraded without residents having to pay for that.
Thank you. Were there any other councillors who'd like to say something? No? I'd just like to say this plan was organised, the Redlands 2030 Community Plan, through a huge thousands of people consultation happened with this one. This is our long-term vision. We've got our corporate plan, which is our medium-term vision, and then this operational plan is the one we're adopting today, which is our annual one. They've all got the same headings, so there's consistency across them. So we have got quite large projects in here, such as hoping to get the more infrastructure, the koala strategies and everything correct, right down to one of my little favourites on page 16, and that's the mobile library service. So all of these, I know you will laugh, but that... No, it's the mobile library service, because even all the big projects are very important, but these little ones are the grassroots which actually strengthen our communities, and they build our community as well. So it is a very important document, and I'd suggest maybe, if you're interested, to have a read of it. And but it all comes down from these headings, which the community made very clear to us were important to them. So, Councillor Gleeson, were you the one summing up on this one? Yes, you were. Would you like to sum up, or would you just like to now move the motion?
I have nothing more further to add, Madam Chair. I think it's all been said.
Okay, I put the motion. All in favour?
Aye.
Thank you, Karen. That's unanimous. Right. We move on to item 11.3.1, decisions made under delegated authority. Can I have a mover for that one, please? Thank you, Councillor Edwards.
Item 11.3.1, decisions made under delegated authority for categories 1, 2 and 3 developments. I move the officer's recommendation to note the report.
Can I have a seconder for the motion? Thank you, Councillor Hewlett. Oh, sorry, Tracy, you just got picked at the post by Councillor Hewlett. Was there any comments? Yes, Councillor Edwards.
I just wanted to make some comments because this is an item that comes to us regularly, and it's normally said it's all in the report. We move on, and I think that probably needs some clarification. If you just allow me a few minutes' indulgence to explain what this is all about and why we don't discuss it. Nearly 6 years ago, in 2011, Council decided that development assessments should be sorted into four distinct categories, numbered from 1 to 4. Now, Category 1 includes those very simple code-complying assessments. They're very routine, so I like to call them the plain vanilla assessments. Category 2 steps up a notch, and you could probably liken it to plain vanilla with sprinkles, and the sprinkles are just minor impact assessments, so they're a little bit more difficult. Category 3 probably enters the world of MasterChef, where things can go wrong. If we take our vanilla ice cream, add sprinkles and then some nuts, it could taste great, but if you've got a nut allergy, it could kill you. This category is for those assessments that have a moderately complex code and impact assessments. It's also a category that sometimes we councils tie ourselves up in knots, because we like to have an outcome where everyone in the community is happy with it. The category 4 is probably where we choose between heaven and hell, and this category is reserved for major and significant assessments. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's where the ice cream melts and you forget vanilla or any other flavour or topping. These are applications that are assessed where the community will be divided, and we, mere councils, will make our decisions in the best intent, knowing that we'll be singled out as saints and sinners at the same time. Of all these categories, the first three are delegated to officers for assessment rather than being workshopped individually by councillors. And there's a reason for that, because if you sit and you look at the number that are going through, we'd never be able to do all our duties and workshops and everything and assess every single application that comes through. The good news is that we've got a safety check, and that safety check, that is, report is issued most days to all of councillors detailing Category 1, 2 and 3 applications that have been received, and there's a link for us to download the full application. And every councillor sees every application lodged before it comes to the general meeting. And although we have delegated the assessment and approval to officers, we councillors all retain the right to call in an application lodge, no matter how simple or complex it is. And I myself have called in applications, and I've notified our officers of a current application that I want brought before councillors to make a determination in the coming weeks in a general meeting that's open to the public. Category 4 applications are only decided by councillors, and I think we pray that there are very few of them. So when this report comes to a general meeting, all councils have already had the opportunity to review them, and that's why the presenter of this item seldom talks about it and says it's all in the report. Finally, some advice to probably the new councils, and even I remind myself, we've got the right to call in an application if we've got any concerns about it. When you see an application in your email, look through it, and if it raises any red flags, I encourage you to go see planning officers to discuss it. Still got some concerns, bounce it off other councillors to see if the issues have to be further investigated. But at the end of the day, each council's got the right to call in an application and have a look at it, but our concerns must be on valid planning grounds. That's the main issue. And that being said, I'd like to finish up by saying it's all in the report.
Thank you. Councillor Hewlett, have you got some recipes as well?
Just a question. I'm glad Mark brought up the question of calling in an application, but can, this is for the public here, can a councillor call in an application in someone else's division, or is it up to the divisional councillor? So we can call one in across the city. Is that correct?
I know the answer, but I think it's more appropriate if the CEO answers.
That is correct, and I would like to just, again, I know I bang on about this quite regularly, that under the Act, whilst you're elected in a divisional role, you do have a responsibility to act in the best interests of the city. So, Councillor Hewlett, you can call in anyone in particular, and I know, councillors, you tend to look in your own areas, but that's the legislation says that you act in behalf of the whole city.
And, of course, the public can also get onto the council website on PD Online and check out what's going on with these applications themselves. Councillor Elliott, do you have a comment?
Yes, now the public can see from Councillor Edwards' speech that why we tick and flick it. That's it.
Right, thank you.
Except today. And we hope that won't happen until 26 years.
Okay, Councillor Bishop?
Since we're sharing the idea that this council business is something that does impact the city and that we all have a say, so too the community can be alerted to. There is apparently an application that you can actually put your details in, and it will alert you to any applications that are going to be happening around you within a whatever size radius you want to know about. So if people are particularly interested in wanting to know about all these things and realising why we do sometimes tick and flick, or if they want to get caught up in something else, they can download that app, which I don't know the details for right now, but it does exist.
Perhaps we can get something put up on Council's Facebook site or something where a lot of people get their information
PD alert,
these days
I think
about
it is.
That one. Yeah, great. Thank you. If there's no further comments, I'll go back to Councillor Edwards to sum up.
All in the report.
Okay. All in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Great. Unanimous. Thank you. Right, 11.3.2, appeals list current as at the 8th of June. Can I have a mover and seconder for that, please? Thank you, Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. Happy to move 11.3.2, appeals list current as of 8th of June 2016.
Can I have a seconder for that? Thank you, Councillor Bishop. Were there any comments or discussion to be had on that item? No? As it's all quiet, I'll put the motion.
Hang on.
Sorry, you did have a comment, Councillor Hewlett?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Since we're playing Baskin and Robbins, I thought I'd better say something. This is an area that I find quite frustrating because I had an application recently that was taken to court because I put up a refusal motion that was supported. But unfortunately, after the negotiations go through the court, the public no longer have any say or impact on that application. It comes back here behind closed doors and we make a decision whether we're going to accept the court's negotiation or whether we let it go the full length of the appeal. I think it's a failing in our system, and I'm not having a go at council or anybody, but it's really frustrating when people out in the community are saying, what's happened with that application? I said, well, it was negotiated down to this and you had no right of reply or say any further. I think something needs to be done at a higher level to make the public aware or involved in these applications right through to the end. Thank you.
Yes?
If there is a resident or an organisation that is concerned about an application and it's an impact, a sensible application, if they put a submission in, they do get a right in court. But unfortunately, it's only in the instance where they their impact assessable application. So I just think that there is opportunity in the court for community, obviously under certain circumstances.
I'm pressing buttons everywhere. Thank you. Are you
happy to move the motion?
Happy to move the motion now. All in favour?
Aye.
Unanimous. We move on to 11.3.3, Tourism Accommodation and Centres Package Extension. Can I have a mover and seconder for that one, please? Councillor Edwards?
Yeah, councillors, we do have an amended motion on the on the.
Now I'm going to have to read that out because the for the the councillors who are teleconferencing in, this was sent to you. Did you have a chance to read it?
Sorry, are you referring to the motion?
Yes, there's an amended motion. Louise sent it this morning, last night. I can read it out. Number five just had a bit of word changing. You've all read it?
Yeah.
Right, thank you. Yes, and that the Economic Development Advisory Board also have a read over it.
Yep.
Yep, great, thank you. Okay, so now we've had it moved by Councillor Edwards.
Just a quick question, Chair.
Do I need
that's
it
not
seconded?
All of it. There's more. It's got to come up a bit. If we could just come up. Well, where's the... Oh, it is December. Sorry. I'm just couldn't see it. Oh, yeah, December 2.
Okay, before we go into discussion, can I just have a seconder for that motion, please? Thank you, Councillor Bishop. So it's been moved by Councillor Edwards and seconded by Councillor Bishop Liz. Now, is there anyone against or for, or do you just want to go into some discussion? I can see some looks like there might be some discussion.
I think we're all happy here in Canberra.
Okay, thank you. So we're fine. Just a comment, yes, Councillor Bishop?
Yeah, just so that everyone's aware, at the meeting we had yesterday, there was just some discussion about the this incentive package and how it may best apply to the community. It's been out there for a while. This is an extension of it. Councillors were of the view that it should be considered as part of the Economic Development Advisory Board for their consideration if they are looking in that space and considering options and opportunities. It's also just important to note that we are asking for a six-monthly report back to understand what the expectations are and what has actually transpired. And generally, I just think it's important to acknowledge that this is something that does apply for people across the city, with the exclusion of, as dot point 5 clarifies, it's not applicable within the CBD incentive package for Toondah Harbour, Wine and Creek. If I just to make sure that we don't offer a double opportunity for people in those spaces, it's actually something for other people across the city.
I'll just ask the General Manager to respond to that. And can you also, yesterday it was mentioned the successes that we've had through this. Could you also mention that, please? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Councillor Bishop. In fact, we do have the CBD revitalisation, or the CBD incentives area, and there is opportunity within that to look at tourism opportunities in the CBD. The tourism incentives package was to look beyond just the CBD so that there'd be opportunities across the entire city. So that's where the distinction is. As we said, it has already been endorsed by Council, and this is really just to make sure that we've got our resolution in line so that the dates line up. You've already approved the funding for it. We have had some successes to date, and it is quite exciting to hear that. We've had a couple of bed and breakfasts that have been approved, which is, if you're looking at that that level of tourism opportunity, in bed and breakfast is a very authentic and unique opportunity to experience our city. We've also had some tourist accommodation and tourist park at Mount Cotton, tourist accommodation apartment building in Cleveland. We've had some tourist accommodation in Cleveland at Bloomfield Street and some also at Alex Hills. They amount to about $275,000 to date, but we still have opportunities with people knocking on the door still looking, so we greatly appreciate the opportunity to make sure that the package is actually extended as well as the funding.
Councillor Hewlett?
Just a comment. Thank you, Deputy Madam Mayor. Look, I'm going to support this today. Look, I think tourism's a great thing and we need the revenue in the city, and that's for certain. I'm just a little bit and we've also got the Cleveland CBD Revitalisation Incentre, but I think we need to look at our commercial, retail and industrial sectors in the city as well. We've got commercial land out at Redland Business Park that's vacant. We've got areas zoned for commercial development that aren't being developed. We need to offer incentive to people to either build and establish their businesses in the city or extend their current businesses and infrastructure. Paul's always had a thing about Capalaba. I've got something about Victoria Point, but it's a principal centre. It's not in our strategic framework as a principal centre, but Victoria Point is where it's all happening, and that's where the development is down there, and we need to offer incentives to real employers to come into this city and deploy our youth and give our kids jobs. So I'm going to support this today, but I think we need to look a little bit broader than what we're looking at the moment. Thank you.
Are there any further... Yes, I'll just put your microphone on. Hang on a minute.
Okay, your mic's on.
Thank you. I think just partly agreeing with Councillor Hewlett about how we encourage our business, well, new business and our businesses to remain in our city. And it's not just going to be about incentives. I think I'd probably be speaking for most of the councillors here at Canberra that infrastructure such as high-speed broadband will be a far better investment to attract and retain businesses. And I think that's a serious discussion that we all need to have. And I'm pretty sure that Smart City has been on the tongue of most of the people here at the Canberra Conference at ALGA, and I'm really keen to generate that discussion with the ELT and councillors, with the information that the councillors here in Canberra have acquired when we get back.
Thank you. Is there any other comments, Councillor Elliott?
Chair, who's down there as the mover of this?
It's the mover of this, Councillor Edwards.
Okay, I'll make a comment. I just want to
find you make a comment now, yes?
The mover was seconded. I'm sort of a bit like Councillor Gillard. The incentive package has been there a while. Why I asked yesterday about having a six-month look at it, that let the Economic and Advisory Board have a look at it, and are we on the right track? I don't want to keep pouring money into something. They say you can do it a better way, and that's what it's about, really. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry, I thought you were going to say something. No? Right, I'll go back to Councillor Edwards now to sum up.
Yes, I'll throw my 2 cents worth into this. Sometimes when we bring packages like this into council, I think we might get an expectation that instantaneously it's out there and everybody knows about it. My experience is it takes time to sift through, and It's probably been the last 2 months or so that I've personally been getting lots of inquiries from people who have heard about this package and wanting to find out further details of it and consider their options for development. So I'm supporting this. I think Councillor Elliott's correct in having this reviewed, and which we should do. But I believe that we'll probably find that as time goes on, there'll be more of an uptake of this. So I support the recommendation.
Thank you. And with that, all in favour? Karen? Hello in Canberra.
Hi.
Thank you. Unanimous. Right, we haven't got a mayor or minute. There's no notice of motion to repeal or amend, but we do have a notice of motion. Councillor Edwards, would you like to present that, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. It is actually a notice of motion to appeal or amend a resolution of Council. I move that Council resolves as follows. 1. To repeal part of the resolution made on 9th of December 2015 stating that the report and attachments remain confidential until a formal announcement relating to this agreement has been made by the State Government. And 2. That the deed be made a public document as an attachment to the overall plan, the annual implementation plan for the Southern Moreton Bay Islands Translink Operations Charge.
Thank you. Seconder, Councillor Bishop. Would anyone like to... You seconded it, yep. And you also had a comment, question? Yes? Thank you.
Just clarification. This has come to us, and I understand that in a simplistic sense, we gave the courtesy to the Minister to take the opportunity to announce this to the community, and from what we gather, that major priority is... Well, they've chosen to not... need to proceed with that, and we're just going about it in a different way. And is that clarification? Do you want to be any more clear about that? That's how I generally understand it.
I'd just like to talk to it.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank the officers for writing this motion on my behalf, because a simple fellow like me would have said it another way, and that would have been along the lines of this. At the general meeting, the 9th of December 2015, we passed a funding agreement for the TransLink for the islands. We thought we had a pretty good deal because this is the last agreement, and when it expires, there's not going to be any further agreements. TransLink stays, and the island TransLink levy stops and becomes a memory. Which is good news, but there was a catch because the state did want to make an announcement instead of us, so we took the punch and agreed for the details to remain confidential so the state can make the announcement. And we look at today, it's the 22nd of June, and there's still no announcement. So this is a proposal that that as we have no state announcement, we should just release the document as a public document, and then I can embrace comments from my constituents saying, why didn't you release this 6 months ago? That in a nutshell is what it is, and I look for your support for the resolution.
Thank you, Councillor Edwards. Is there any more clarification needed? Yes, Councillor Elliott.
So the original report we approved becomes a public document after this. Yep.
CEO.
Yep, repealing this will mean that you can talk about it and we can make it public, because we had a resolution where it would remain confidential
until the minister said so. Thank you.
Great. I'll, Councillor Edwards, that was your. You want to sum up and no, you're right. Okay. All in favour?
Aye.
Thank you. Unanimous. Right. We've got no urgent business without notice. Then we've got the items for closed session. Is there? I've gone off my track again. Do we need a motion to move into closed session?
Unless there's going to be discussion on that.
Madam Chair, I would like to speak to you or ask a question about one of the items on the agenda.
Okay, we'll move into closed session then. Okay, Councillor Elliott has moved it. Mark, Councillor Edwards has seconded that motion. All in favour?
Aye.
That's unanimous, so I'll have to ask everybody in the gallery to vacate, and thank you.